Welcome to Radio Sweat.
New music, new year. Have a safe one, sweat us all.
In this edition, a big safety competition. It's already started for everybody in engineering grades. We'll tell you all about it.
Meet the man in charge of our charter mark. He has to make a picture of all the ways we're getting better.
Winter motoring, a chilling experience. We have safety tips from an expert.
And a lost time accident at Bodmin with a painful twist in the tail. But first...
Come on down, folks, for the Swept Safety Competition.
On January the 1st, our safety competition took off. It's being piloted by the engineering grades, and provided it's wrinkle-free, it'll go company-wide soon. It's been known for some time that several wrecks had competitions, which they found effective in building up the general expectation of zero accident. Network Operations Manager Bob Samwell.
The safety competition really came about because we were trying to find reasons and initiatives and things that people would find interesting to try and improve safety performance. I think one of the problems that we have is that the way we measure safety at the moment is that we actually get results coming to us too late to be able to do very much about it. It's all reactive, there's nothing proactive about it.
The competition focuses on lost time accident statistics per 100 head of staff, but the teams can be as small as 12 people who work together. Safety and Environmental Manager Mike Cockrum was one of those on the rules working group.
A set of grassroots people were pulled together to thrash the rules out. This, I believe, was very successful, and therefore, from the 1st of January this year, we shall in fact be running it as a pilot in the engineering business to evaluate the rules, make sure we've got it right.
In effect, that competition has already started.
It's down to the managers locally to in fact develop, encourage and endorse the formation of teams. In other words, the teams will be conformed of maybe jointers, linesmen, fitters, who work together naturally. Or it may be that the manager decides he wants to build his team in a particular way. Either way, it should be preferable that the teams are naturally working together so that they can encourage and help each other.
Will I have to do anything special when I become a member of a team?
Work safe all the time. That's the only requirement. There will be a quarterly position indicator, but also we shall be able to produce statistics on a monthly basis to let people know how they are getting on. And there will be minor awards for the quarterly and major awards at the end of the 12 months.
Do we know if and when this competition is going company-wide?
It will be put formally to the HSMM in February, and provided they endorse it, it will go company-wide on the 1st of April.
Now, obviously, because a lot of our people are in retail premises, some people are up poles, down holes, and others are looking at computer screens, how do we make it all fair?
There will be two main classes in the competition. One class looks after office-based people, and the second class looks after industrial staff, the guys at the sharp end who obviously face a lot more hazards than those in the office.
And they are separately evaluated, separately measured all the way along, and have a different lot of prizes at the end.
That's absolutely right. The base criteria is the same. Accident rate per 100, and the main intention of the competition is to achieve zero accidents in all those teams. It's as simple as that. It's recognised that team movement might take place in the 12 months, and provided the team retains 75% of its original, then they can still continue to compete. And any member of the team that transfers will take any accidents they have with them.
Well, it all sounds simple enough, doesn't it?
That's right. You hear about it from your manager, and you must consciously sign on for a team and work safe together on a daily basis.
And you find out how you're doing every month. What about prizes, then?
Oh, don't worry. Teams that do well will know all about it, and so will everybody else in the company. Recognition's very important in this competition. Signing up will be recognised, progress and improvement will be too.
Tell me about the prizes. I want to know all about the prizes.
The cash prizes come at the end of the year, when winning teams can declare the charity of their choice, who'll receive £1,000 with attendant publicity.
No Caribbean holidays? No three-piece suites?
No, of course not. Zero accidents, something we do as a team. You stalking off to Jamaica for a fortnight doesn't help anybody. But you'd be proud to publicly present a fat old cheque, wouldn't you?
Yes, Yes, I would.
Right. OK, Bob Samwell tells us that they got a good start on the competition plan from Southern Electric.
We haven't stolen all the ideas, but we have, I think, used some of their experience in putting our own rules together for our own competition. And certainly one of the things that we were told by Southern Electric was it was very important that this recognition is what comes out of the safety competition rules.
The Rules Working Group got a lot done in short order and included Dave Hugo, the Prizewood store's foreman, already a tireless charity worker.
It's like anything else. If you want to sell something, you've got to promote it. That's what it's all about, selling safety to everyone.
Work safe, stay accident-free, and help each other to be accident-free by spotting the hazards which arise day-to-day on jobs.
Mike Cockrum spelling out the winning formula.
Driving safety is an area we haven't touched on in Radio Swed so far, but as we're deep in the most obviously hazardous part of the year, here's Chris Coffey, an expert in the field, with a list of precautions, starting with bridges.
Bridges are very, very dangerous places this sort of day, and you'll find that during the night the wind's been blowing under the bridge, and while the road surface is perfectly dry and looks warm and everything else, you drive along, you get to the top of the bridge, the wind's been blowing under it all night, the road surface is very, very cold, and there's ice, a sheet of ice right across the bridge.
Simply because it's been chilled top and bottom, as it were. I guess there is a collection of things you can actually leave in the vehicle.
Something as basic as a decent tow rope, a set of jump leads, extra warm clothing. I always like to take a thermos flask full of hot soup if I know I'm going to be out in potentially bad conditions, because you never know, and if you're going to be stuck for the night in a snowdrift, a thermos of warm soup can make the difference between freezing to death and staying alive. And people say, oh, well, I can leave the heater running, you know, and that's not true. If you get into deep snow and you leave the heater running, the engine running, so the heater's working, you find the exhaust fumes build up inside the snowdrift all round you and gradually poison you, and you think, oh, isn't it lovely and warm, and you drift off to sleep, you never wake up again. I like to see people putting proper fibre doormats in their car. So as you get in, you literally wipe your feet.
What, the old coconut matting job?
The old coconut matting, it's the best thing you can have. So you just lay them in the car. You make sure that they can't slide forward and jam the pedals, obviously. But the old coconut matting is good stuff. You know, it's bitterly cold out here. You don't want to be hanging about. The first thing you want to do is jump in, warm up, you know, start the engine, and then it takes forever to clear the glass and the windows, and you sit there and you rub away and you think, oh, well, look, I can see out the little arch at the bottom of the windscreen now because the heater demister has just blown a little 6-inch. So if I bend down and peer through the bottom of the... I can see now, so off we go down the... And in fact, you're looking through a sort of porthole. I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous. You have no idea. Yeah. What's coming in from the side, yeah. But it only takes, 30 seconds to go around with a trigger action gun. They're much cheaper than the aerosols. Just clear the windows with anti-mist.
Chris Goffey with a fine piece of observation. Our hands up anybody who hasn't driven peering through the gap at the bottom of the windscreen. When will we ever learn?
One of the high points of Swed life in 1992 was that we were one of a handful of companies to receive the Charter Mark. Now, this award comes from the government and says to the world, we're good at giving service to our customers and we're constantly looking for ways to improve. Well, this summer we have to be reassessed for Charter Mark and we need to keep it. Dave Gallimore is Organisation Development Manager and he heads up a 23-strong committee getting together our submission for the Charter Mark assessors, and he needs to be told about all the improvements the company's made, and this includes safety and environmental issues.
The sole purpose of the team is to promote the fact that we have Charter Mark amongst the staff and to ask the staff what they're doing to improve the service we're giving to customers. Some of those things will be direct things like they're being trained on doorstep techniques and how to talk to the customers. Our meter fixers and meter readers, for instance, are receiving that training. Some of the things may be less obvious, but there may be jointing techniques that we're using, or things happening in the substation department which are having a direct effect on our customers. And I need to know about them, because if I know about them and the team know about them, then next May, when we have to, we can make a really outstanding application to retain the Charter Mark.
So Charter Mark really helps us
put the shine on our relations with the people who pay us to do what we do.
Yes, it does. We have to stand back and we have to have a good look at ourselves, and we have to think about the impact we're having on our customers. And this is going to be more and more true in the future, of course, because we're going to be in competition for those customers and for customers elsewhere. And if we can compete for those customers with the charter mark against our name, that is going to be a plus point in our favour.
That's the thing about awards once you've got them. You fight like hell to keep them. Call Dave Gallimore on Priorswood 2301 with any stories of ways you're doing things better.
One of the things we thought Radio Swed would be good at was bringing home the real cost of accident. Now, in practice, we've not been able to do this as much as we'd hoped. We don't get the number of lost time accidents we used to, and some of the victims we do get don't feel able to talk about it on tape. But today we're going to talk to Steve Burt. He's a member of a jointing team based at Bodmin. At the end of November, Steve was preparing soft jointing compound on a new substation site in Holsworthy. On lifting the lid, the hot bitumen blew into his face. Steve went in search of his mate.
As soon as he saw me, he rushed to the van and got loads of cold water and threw over me to try and keep it cool, until we eventually got to the surgery in the village, where they took over bathing it with ice cold water and then transferred to the hospital. Mainly the right hand side underneath the chin. As the day went on, pain got worse, and during the night, I mean, I couldn't sleep. It was that painful. I think my wife thought it was worse than what it was when she had got the initial phone call.
She was very frightened, was she?
Very frightened. I mean, the baby, she looked at me and she started crying. She didn't know who it was after I'd been up all night and my face had swollen right up. I mean, it's like the Elephant Man, it was swollen up that much. If it gets too hot, then there's, you know, I can feel the burning start again on the side of my face. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy.
Now comes the twist in this particular tale. Not only had Steve suffered a painful injury, his was the first lost time accident in the underground section in Bodmin for 3 years. This 30-strong workgroup is managed by Dave Osborne, and they've attracted a good deal of attention company-wide for their record-breaking 3-year zero-accident performance. Poor Steve, not only did he have his own pain to bear, but also the knowledge that he'd blotted his mate's accident record.
I just didn't know what to say. I couldn't say sorry, because they wouldn't have took much notice, but, I mean, I did feel pretty bad that I had broken that record.
Steve was released from Derryford Hospital. He came back to see me, and we had a little chat that evening before he went home. And he said to me, he said, "Oh, I'll be back in the morning." He said, "That's all right, I'll be back in the morning."
Dave Osborne is a manager of long experience. He knows the way with burns. He knew the last time accident record of his team was well and truly broken. Steve would be off for several days. The situation needed careful management in a disappointed work group.
Steve came back to work the following Monday. We had a team meeting already planned for the Tuesday. So obviously on the Monday morning, Steve and I had a long chat, and we sorted out, showed him a draft of my report and things like that. And then on the Tuesday morning, obviously all the team were together, and Steve was prepared to talk about what had happened to his accident. And obviously the first thing that I wanted to make to them is, yes, you know, we've had this accident, but you have already achieved the record, and you have the greatest period of time of anybody in Swed, and nobody can take that away from you. You start all over again, but you're that much wiser. And it was out of that discussion and out of my investigations that, in fact, a procedure for dealing with this particular type of compound has now been put to paper.
Out of this unfortunate accident has come knowledge, which will make a repetition of the same accident that much less likely to occur. When Radio Swed visited jointing instructor John Westcott at Taunton, he literally had to hand the Bodmin recommendations. The caution must start with the compound bucket itself. It should, of course, be empty.
We then need to ensure that we have venting holes punched evenly around the tin, and also a V-cut made into the base of the tin.
So you want them to actually puncture the outside skin of the tin?
Yeah, that's quite right. We use a hack knife to do this.
And the V-cut in the base of the tin, what's that for?
Well, that's to prevent any pressure build-up as the compound melts and sucks down towards the base of the bucket. We also need to ensure that we cut two Vs or two tabs in the top of the tin where the compound has shrunk when it's been initially filled at manufacturers.
Some kind of handle device?
Yeah, what we propose to do there is tin copper binding wire, standard copper binding wire that the jointer carries, and he just punches two holes in the side, 180 degrees apart, and makes a nice lifting handle, so that when the compound is melted from the tin, he can use the handle, ensuring that he wears a visor and compound gloves, and this is very important. It wouldn't have prevented the accident, but it would have minimised the injury and saved his face.
A clear, logical chain of managed, engineered improvement. Just what the doctor ordered. Ask Steve Burt, who's getting along nicely now. Just before we go, Chris Goffey wants to claim the attention of anybody who uses laden trailers on or off-road during the winter.
I'm petrified sometimes when you see people going along, you know, icy and frosty roads with obviously fairly heavy trailers on the back. And you think, do these guys actually realise the dynamics involved? Because the weight of the trailer can literally flick your vehicle round and off the road before you know it. I mean, it's so dangerous. I cannot emphasise enough. If you've got a heavy trailer on the back, you've got to be so careful. It really isn't true in that situation. Sounds like the dreadful wagging finger, doesn't it? You know, you must, you mustn't, you must. It's really just common sense. You know, have the time to plan ahead. I think that's the secret of it.
Now, you can win a £50 night out by sending 4 novel winter driving tips to Mike Cockrum at Aztec. See the tape insert for the details. That's it for this programme. Don't forget to hold your hand up for the safety competition. Call Dave Gallimore at Priorswood with the improvements he needs to hear about. And watch out for icy bridges.
And work safe together. Bye.
Bye.